With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Rhinelander's parking situation took up a large portion of Rhinelander's Common Council meeting Monday night. It was spurred by an idea to turn Brown Street, the main downtown street, into a one-way. WXPR's Katie Thorson gives us an update.
Public feedback made it clear that many businesses and people downtown Rhinelander don't want to see Brown Street turned into a one-way. But there does need to be some changes to parking. Rhinelander City Administrator Patrick Reagan voiced what some others have. Rhinelander actually has a lot of parking, but it's not well utilized.
I don't think we have a parking problem. I think we have a walking problem. Everybody wants, including me, wants to park directly in front of where they're going. I'm the same way. But the fact of the matter is, you look in cities, and people have to walk blocks to go to things. It's not that big of a deal.
One suggestion was just better signage directing people to the parking lots. Another discussion that came up was how well enforced the two-hour Brown Street parking limits should be. Some council members thought better enforcement might encourage people to use the parking lots. Alderperson Steve Jopek was concerned that would keep people away from downtown for longer visits, like going to concerts or other events.
I'm hesitant to want to increase enforcement of two-hour policy on Brown Street because a lot of our businesses are places that people want to stay and spend time and go to concerts and do those things. And enforcing that could, push people to, I got to go, so I'm not going to go, or something like that.
Another idea that came out of the public listening session was about the intersection of Rise and Frederick Streets on Brown Street. Some people suggested turning those intersections into four-way stops.
Putting in four-way stops it's great, but unintended consequences. I would thoroughly ask you to, maybe we should get something from Mark and Chief and myself before we just go throwing them in willy-nilly. Let's see if there's going to be any problem. There probably won't be, but I'd rather measure twice and cut once on this.
Common Council voted to keep Brown Street a two-way and to direct city administration to conduct a feasibility study on the possibility of four-way stops at those intersections. It was also suggested the city works with the Rhinelander Area Chamber of Commerce on improved signage, which the chamber is already in the process of. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
A competency hearing has been ordered for a Merrill man accused of murdering his father. A Lincoln County judge set a competency hearing for September 22nd for 26-year-old Austin Stevenson. 48-year-old John Stevenson was found dead in March after the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office responded to a request for a welfare check in the township of Corning. That's after John Stevenson didn't show up to work and had not been heard from. Austin Stevenson is being held on a $250,000 bond. He's charged with first-degree intentional homicide and burglary. Flash flooding canceled the final day of the Wisconsin State Fair Sunday as continued heavy rainfall in half a dozen Midwest states forced motorists to abandon vehicles, cut power to thousands of households, and closed busy roadways. Organizers of the Wisconsin State Fair said they were scrapping the final day of the 11-day event after rains flooded the fairgrounds in West Allis, which is just outside of Milwaukee. Among the worst-hit areas was the Milwaukee area, where the National Weather Service says up to 14 inches of rain had fallen in some locations by Sunday. River flooding was reported in Milwaukee and Waukesha counties. Nearly 18,000 customers of We Energies in southeast Wisconsin were without power late Sunday. In the suburban village of Wauwatosa, an overflowing and fast-moving Menominee River submerged a popular playground. A new study says the world could prevent nearly 2 million deaths by 2040 if policymakers take a more aggressive and effective approach in reducing transportation emissions. A regional health expert also outlines the daily impact in places like Wisconsin. Mike Moen reports.
A group of global researchers is out with new findings that say if the status quo remains, tailpipe emissions will double the number of premature deaths and asthma cases in children in underdeveloped areas. Midwest-based doctor Daniel Trujano is with Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate, and he says locally, emissions disrupt day-to-day life for a lot of people.
Other cases, they make you sick enough or you're not breathing well, and I got to take several days of school or work off, and that certainly will lead to decreased productivity in the community.
Trujano says air pollution is often associated with large metro areas, but he adds breathing in unhealthy fumes from cars and trucks is a problem in smaller towns and cities, too. He points to kids forced to take longer school bus rides in rural areas, and other studies have found that pollutants can be even more harmful inside a bus. Trajano makes renewed calls for more electric school buses so that kids avoid conditions like asthma and can focus on learning. As for buying an electric car, Trajano says if it isn't an option right now, it's important to ensure your current car's exhaust system works properly.
You know, if that air pollution is getting into the car more than it should, that's just terrible for your health.
He cites elevated risks for threats like heart disease and stroke. Auto industry analysts say despite sticker shock for some car buyers, EV prices are coming down as technology improves. The authors behind the global study say there needs to be a comprehensive approach to cleaning up the transportation sector beyond sales. The U.S. has made electric vehicle gains but lags behind places like China and Europe. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
Some small food businesses are in limbo as they wait for grants from the U.S. Department of Agriculture program the Trump administration abruptly ended. Harvest Public Media's Michael Marks reports.
The Regional Food Business Centers program was designed to provide training, grants, and other assistance to smaller food businesses. But the USDA canceled the program in mid-July. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said that it was financially unsustainable. Some businesses that won grants are still waiting for funding. Karen Batari of BPM Farms outside Kansas City grows basil. She was approved for a $40,000 grant but still hasn't got the money. If it doesn't come through, she won't be able to stay in business.
What I hope will happen is the grant will fund. If it doesn't fund, everything I got here that I'm currently using in my business is for sale.
Rollins said her department does plan to honor the grant commitments, but it's unclear when that will happen. I'm Michael Marks, Harvest Public Media.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.